The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Who are some modern-day heroes of the faith? What a great question that came in from one of our listeners here at Grace in Focus. Yeah, we're going to talk about it on today's episode. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners like yourself, and we're just giddy about the questions that we get, and this is such a great one. So Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to fill us in on what they think the answer to this question is. This is Grace in Focus.
All right, let's take some questions today. But actually, no, I have a question for you, Bob, here. This is an easy question.
Okay, give me
I only
please.
Feel like doing easy questions
please.
Today. I was just reading a biography of Anthony Norris Groves. And
okay.
It's a very fascinating biography, and he wasn't Plymouth Brethren himself. He might have been, but he helped start it. He was decided one day that the Bible doesn't require you to be ordained to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and so he just started meeting with another man, and they grew to a few men, and one of those guys was John Nelson Darby, J.N. Darby, and then it grew. And those men later on became leaders in the Plymouth Brethren movement. But it kind of started with Groves, apparently, just breaking bread. But anyways, I was reading about Groves, and I'm finding it very, very fascinating. But my question to you is, who is a Christian minister or theologian or person that you kind of look up to, that you think to yourself, man, I would like to have a ministry like this person's?
Well, of course, Zane Hodges was my mentor, and I certainly would like to have a ministry like he had, where he ministered in Plymouth Brethren churches for 50 years, and he also taught at Dallas Seminary for 27 years and wrote quite a few books, and he discipled a lot of people one-on-one, including, I remember, he had a prisoner on death row, and he would correspond with him and even drive all the way down to Huntsville, which is like 6 or 7 hours round trip, to see him occasionally on the weekends. So, yeah, he would be one, but, yeah, someone like John Nelson Darby would be someone that I would be interested in, although I don't know. There's a lot of controversy over the open brethren, closed brethren.
Right.
And which side was Darby on, the open brethren?
He was exclusive.
He was exclusive.
He was the closed people. And then he fought.
And Muller was on the open side?
Yeah, he fought with Muller on the open side, yeah.
Yeah. So, and Muller would be another.
And what would Victor Street would be more on the open?
Yeah, it's
open side. Meaning, you guys make your own decisions about who celebrates Lord's Supper with you.
Right. If one of you listening decided you wanted to come to Victor Street, you'd be perfectly welcome to come to our Bible teaching hour, which is our first hour from 10:30 to 11:45. Then, if you wanted to stay for our Lord's Supper meeting, the only thing we require is you meet with one of the elders. And they just talk to you to make sure you know that you have everlasting life by faith in Christ, apart from works. And if you give a clear statement of your faith in Christ, then you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in exclusive brethren, I believe you can only partake of their Lord's Supper meeting if you come from another exclusive brethren assembly.
Yeah.
And you have some sort of letter or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how you prove you came from another.
Yeah, I guess it must be by letter or by recommendation. I think the idea was, if one assembly decides you can't take the Lord's Supper, then all the other assemblies have to like stand by that decision. And then the open people were like, no, that's really, it's up to every assembly to make that their own decision.
But some other heroes for me would be people like, I admired very much Dr. Ryrie, mm-hmm. Charles Ryrie. He was a man who was not very outgoing, you know, not real driven in one sense, and yet he was a man who accomplished much for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I thought a lot of Dr. Ryrie when I was there at Dallas Seminary. Haddon Robinson, of course, I only had him for one lecture. He left after my first year, but I was very impressed with Haddon Robinson, and I've heard a lot of good things about him and how he taught so many people how to preach God's Word, including Zane Hodges, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though I don't agree with a lot of the things, Bill Bright, I heard him speak once, and he certainly started a movement that reached a lot of people, including me, mm-hmm. Campus Crusade for Christ. And even though there was a lot of lack of clarity in the materials of Campus Crusade for Christ, God has used that to reach many people.
Right.
And even for people to many to grow in the faith. And so I think a lot of Bill Bright and the influence he had. Of course, Dawson Trotman, I remember reading his book,
Dawes.
Who
was that?
He was the founder of Navigators.
Oh, okay.
And I read a biography of him called Dawes, and it was very impressive. Hudson Taylor, I read about him. He was very impressive in his missionary work. There's a lot of people I look up to, and I like reading biographies. A lot of sports stars I look up to as well. What I try to find when I'm reading biographies or other things are people who are overcomers, both spiritually and just physically.
Okay.
In other words, if someone overcame a lot of physical hardships, a lot of financial hardships, social hardships, I want to read their stories because I want to be an overcomer. And being an overcomer, of course, involves continuing to abide in Christ, but there is a physical component to that, maintaining our bodies, getting proper exercise and diet and things. So I like to read widely. People who had a faithful ministry of teaching God's word, and especially people who were clear on the grace message, which now, you know, that reduces the circle a bit. But among the Plymouth Brethren, the early ones were quite solid on the free grace message, faith alone message. Even today, many, many Plymouth Brethren churches are still strongly proclaiming the faith alone message. I would say, after we met with a young man named Andrew Bacon from...
From Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls, shout out to him. Niagara Falls, Canada, he's on the Canadian side, eh?
Right.
After meeting with him, I looked up Plymouth Brethren I realized I hadn't really done much research on Plymouth Brethren. And when you look online, it's amazing how many splits there have been in Plymouth Brethren.
They really have.
There are something like 20 or 30 different Plymouth Brethren groups, and they have the names of people who split off. And there's been a lot of separation,
right,
both among, I think, especially among the exclusive brethren, because
right,
they become more and more exclusive.
Well, so, yeah, in a way, I think especially among the open brethren, every church is independent. So it's like, at least that's how I understand it, kind of like Victor Street. Victor Street doesn't answer to any other assembly. You're not in a denomination with any other assembly.
Right. However, there is a handbook, which I don't think we're
which
in.
Which you're not in.
I think to be in the handbook, you have to go through some sort of a process.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you just apply or what. But as far as I know, either we've never applied or we didn't meet some standard. I don't know what it was.
So I guess it's kind of like, you know, if you're not trying to be part of a denomination, then it's like, would you call that a split? Not really. Every assembly is independent. But when you're trying to form an association, then those associations split. Kind of like... I think that's what the exclusives do, but I'm not sure.
Well, I think in some of what I was reading, you would have a local assembly that itself would split.
Oh, so
you'd have
local
a local assembly where there would be some doctrinal difference, and over that doctrinal difference, they would split. Of course, that happens all the time in lots of churches.
Yeah.
And the fact that it happens in brethren churches is not unique. But what I love about Plymouth Brethren churches is, as you say, they break bread, which is what the Lord's Supper is about and what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, as part of their worship experience.
Yeah.
They're breaking bread. I like the fact that the brethren remember the Lord's death and his resurrection and his soon return every week in that Lord's Supper meeting. So
yeah,
I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that brethren, for the most part, do not have a clergy-laity distinction.
Right.
So that you don't really have a pastor, per se, in most. Now, some do today, but most don't. What you have instead is a group of men who teach on a rotating basis, and I like that. Basically, you're getting instruction from four or five different men, and hopefully you're raising up a new generation of men so that you're never going through a situation like you do in most churches where the pastor retires or the pastor leaves, and now you're like search committee.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have that at Victor Street. I mean, we have four men that speak. We're raising up younger men so that there's other people coming up to take our place.
Mm-hmm. Good thoughts. I would love to know. I want to know more about the Plymouth Brethren and how free grace they are today. What I've heard from Plymouth Brethren guys typically is that maybe it was 200 years ago, but today it's can be very Calvinist, very Lordship Salvation. It'd be interesting, but I don't know that for a fact. I haven't done the research. I don't really know. All right. Well, here, do you want to take a set? Do we have time for a second question?
Sure.
I think we do. Just very, very briefly. Question is, does Psalm 73:27 disprove eternal security? And 73:27 says...
Even without hearing it, the answer is no.
Yes. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. So why would this be a potential problem for eternal security? I guess because it says you can desert God and you get destroyed. Psalm 73:27.
Yeah, unfortunately, many people misunderstand when it says, indeed, those who are far from you shall perish.
Yeah.
That's not John 3:16 perishing,
yeah,
which is defined as eternal. That's death.
Yeah.
This is 2 Peter 3:9 perishing.
Yes.
God wishes none should perish. He doesn't want people to die. Billions are going to die in the tribulation.
Right. So this is basically falls under Christian discipline or temporal judgment.
Right. This could refer to an unbeliever or a believer, but the point is premature death is coming for those who are far from God. It doesn't say anything about what their eternal destiny is. You've destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry.
Especially if you're a Christian, you're a believer, and you desert God for idolatry or harlotry or something like that, then you definitely come under discipline, and then you can sin the sin unto death.
Right. And by the way, the harlotry here probably is idolatry.
Yeah. It's literally idolatry.
It's a figure of speech for idolatry.
Right.
And yes, when you read the Psalms and they talk about the righteous and the unrighteous, that doesn't mean believers and unbelievers. And here in this verse, when it talks about those who go astray and perishing, it's talking about physical death,
yeah,
temporal judgment, as you say. So
yeah,
no, this doesn't, nothing contradicts eternal security, because eternal security has always been true and always will be true.
Thanks for the discussion, Bob, and thanks for the question. And we'd love to hear from you. I'm particularly interested in who your heroes are. Who are some people that you really like? How have they inspired you? What kind of questions do you have about their legacy and the example they've set? I'd like to hear from people. Send us your thoughts at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what it means to remove confusion from being saved. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.